ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode explores, expands, and evolves the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity, joy, and exponential growth. And now, here is your host, Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another Adventures in Truth livecast. My name is Jim Case. I am your host, and I am so excited that you're here and that I'm here and that I'm here today with my guest co-host, Jenny Jablonski. I'm going to get into her bio in just a minute. I'm excited that she's here. We're going to have a great conversation. We're going to talk today about what it means to be stuck and what all of that entails energetically. I really love to take these ideas and concepts because I hear this a lot with people that they're feeling stuck or they're feeling that they're not getting movement. And I experience it in my own life. And so I wanted to kind of take that into meditation and take that into the deepest part of myself and to bring in someone that I think can also help to bring a ton of light and clarity to this idea of stuckness. So we're going to dive into that pretty intensively. We're going to look at is this about where beliefs meet change and what is actually happening in the process of being stuck. But more importantly, how things that we can do, ways that we can help ourselves to become less stuck or to become unstuck. But it's going to be an interesting conversation and I'm really excited to have it. And we're going to have Jenny out in just a moment. But when we come back on the other side of the break, we're going to talk about my book for a minute, so we'll be right back. Hello. All right. Fear is a Choice book. I'm just not connecting today. Fear is a Choice book. Here we go. Fear is a Choice. My book released this last fall. Very excited about it. Very excited for all of you who have had a chance to partake of my book. Powerful, powerful tool for shifting your relationship with fear. Check it out at www.fearsachoicebook.com. This book is really powerful because it does a number of things. One, it embraces the idea of where fear comes from in our experience and understanding that fear is not something you're born with, meaning it isn't an inherent part of the experience, it's a learned part of the human experience. And so different from the religious construct where there's fear about this angry God and things. This is a whole different paradigm. This is about understanding that we are entrained into the fear consciousness, and then we continue to entrain ourselves into that consciousness. And what Fear is a Choice is about understanding that, but more importantly, understanding how to unravel that, how to change your relationship with fear in a very powerful way. Because when you change that relationship with fear, it changes everything. It opens you up to possibility and potential that was not available to you previously. Because when you live in that fear-based consciousness, you're looking through a very limited viewpoint, a perspective that's very kind of looking through a one-eyed monocle kind of experience. You've limited your potential and possibility. And what I hope to do through the show and through this book is to expand that so that you can change your relationship with fear. You can jump off into these things that the desires and things that light you up and take you to the next level. Does it mean that you'll never experience fear? No, but you'll have a very different relationship with it. So fearsachoicebook.com, www.fearsachoicebook.com. Check it out. You can order all of them from all the major outlets there, Amazon and Barnes & Noble and IndieBound and Kindle. There we go. And you can also check out some videos and testimonials there. So I encourage you, please check it out. And we'll be back right after this. We are slow moving. right, here we go. My world is good. My world is good. The movement of the year of conscious creation from my perspective. This is something that I've created this year as a way of focusing our energy. Because what I observed over the last little few years here is how challenging it has been to watch a small group of very negatively focused individuals create changes in the mass consciousness that have just extraordinary impact. And I thought, if that can happen in that capacity, why can't we do that as well? And My World is Good is born of that idea, that here we are, 7.5 billion to 8 billion unique worlds inhabiting this planet, right? And I say unique worlds for a very specific reason, because you are the creator of your reality, whether you're conscious of it or not. You are responsible for what you create and how you create it and what you generate in your life and in your world. And so by bringing My World is Good into your world, we begin to harmonize in an energetic field. So My World is Good is a neutral positive statement that has no relationship to your color, your skin color, your sexuality, your politics, your sex, any of it. It has nothing to do with any of it. It's a neutral positive statement that just brings this powerful focus into your world. My world is good. And it's simple. The joining of the movement is simply to engage. 10 times when you wake up in the morning, first thing, you come back into your body, just start, my world is good. My world is good. My world is good. My world is good. And just feel that, excuse me. Feel that and speak it and then feel it some more. And then you can use it throughout the day as you encounter different things in your day. If something is going higgledy, stop, breathe. My world is good. Pull the goodness into your space, align to the goodness, and see how it influences the things that you're encountering. I encourage you to just share this, to put it out into the world. Let the world know about it. Let the world be a part of it. My world is good. The year of conscious creation. Check it out. If you see the posts around, please share them. Appreciate you. And we're going to say hi to Ginny and bring on the show. Here we go. All right, guys, going to be a great show today. We are talking about what does it mean when you feel stuck? And I want to spend a minute here and introduce you to Ginny before I bring her out. When you follow your heart, you lead with love, she says on her website. In 2001, Ginny retired from a career in international security to focus on resolving emerging medical issues. In 2012, she suffered a near-death experience when fentanyl, a prescription opioid medication, caused her lungs to stop working. After this event, she began to see, sense, and feel energies in very dramatic ways for which she had no intellectual context. She was certain of one thing only. If she wanted to understand what was happening to her, she needed to live and that meant discontinuing all prescription medication. In her desire to regain control of her own health and well-being, she eagerly pursued alternative theories and began educating herself in esoteric philosophies. After spending a considerable amount of time and money on healers, she realized her attempts at being healed by others were failing. And during energy sessions, she could see the energy moving, but following each session, most of the energy would return. And as she studied the esoteric religious philosophies behind many healing traditions, she began to recognize that most healing modalities addressed only superficial issues, not the underlying cause. And some provided philosophical information, but no accompanying tools as to how to integrate these new insights to achieve lasting healing. More importantly, she ultimately came to the realization that she had to heal herself through her own self-awareness and conscious intentions, while simultaneously relying on the support of those who could see the stumbling blocks that she could not identify within her own being. Healing was much more complicated than she had ever imagined. And this sent her on a quest for answers. So Ginny has been deeply involved and continues to be deeply involved. And I'm going to bring Ginny on now to say hi. Good morning, Miss Ginny.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So great that you're here.
I realized as you were reading that was the definition of stuckness.
Yeah.
And I didn't even give you that. You pulled that from my website. I gave you this, you know, 6-sentence short bio intro. And the fact that you read that just literally screamed stuckness to me.
what a great launching point for this conversation.
Perfect.
I'm so excited about this because I see, you know, I know we're both experiencing things energetically, and I experience. Can we turn down your volume just a skosh because I'm echoing? So in the talking about this process is really helping people to understand how it shows up, and that this is not about bad, wrong, right, wrong. This is about identification and self-awareness, which we were talking a little bit ahead of time, which seems to be really the theme of where the show has been moving a lot, is how do we stimulate self-awareness? How do we continue to support self-awareness so that the concepts and ideas that we talk about hit a landing pad? You know, they hit someone who is receptive, who's ready to embrace these changes. And so stuckness, I think, is a great place to launch today to really dive into this.
Absolutely. And in your introduction of the stuckness, what I kept hearing was learned helplessness over and over and over. That, you know, many people talk about animals in this context, learned helplessness. But I feel that we as humans have been denied, certainly in many countries, you know, denied access to certain information, or that esoteric or spiritual information has been so invalidated, so belittled. And it has caused, I think, many of us to turn away from that and seek higher knowledge. Mm-hmm. But I've met many, many people on my journey who had tremendous access to knowledge. But when I went to them for help, they could only help me to the level they were self-aware themselves.
Yes. And that's a very powerful point. I think that we, the helplessness, I think, for me, this journey continues to get clearer and clearer in this idea, like I described in the movement, that we're 7.5 billion unique worlds inhabiting one planet. And it's important to understand that, because yes, we are all here as a part of a co-creative process. We are, at least as best as I can understand it, we are here, and all of us are aspects of the same whole in some regard, but we're having our own very personal, very individual experiences. And so self-awareness becomes critical to that, because what you're really becoming aware of is capital S self, meaning the greater self. Self-awareness is, yes, you can have small L self-awareness, but we live in that paradigm. We live in the ego-driven paradigm. So paying a lot of attention to that isn't going to create movement. It's just going to create more swirl, right? It's going to create more stuckness, because you're looking for a change in the environment that the problem is happening. And that's not where solution lives, not where unstuckness lives. So capital S self-awareness is saying, oh, I need to become aware of all of who I am. Yes. And that's a different animal than this sort of diminished human that's fear-driven, entrained into this idea of limitedness, as it were.
Yes, and I feel that a lot of the suggestions, which are meant to be helpful, are not helpful in steering one to self-awareness. You know, raise your vibration. You know, a lot of these types of platitudes really tend more to cause people to feel a failure or not good enough, reinforcing those programs which we have inherited in our DNA through our ancestral lineage and through our soul blueprint from our past lives. And I really would like to start just a movement of sharing actual tools, meat and potato tools, helpful tools to help people understand that they can get answers from within. And I'm not suggesting that all of our answers, you know, to the detriment of very helpful, spiritual guidance, are all that is necessary. But to help people understand where blocks might exist, how that might look or feel, and how we can then go in and get the answers.
Right on. And a great place for us to take a quick break. What I like to do at this point in the show is, once we've kind of laid the foundation, is to take and enroll all the people that are listening and engaged with us, so that our energies are all kind of harmonized into this experience. So as people are having thoughts and questions, even if they don't bring them to us, that we are dialed into the field of this whole dialogue, and that we will be able to answer questions and touch people who are looking for specific things, because we're aligning in that energy. So I'm going to send you to the green room for a little bit. We're going to do a quick meditation. And when we come back, we're going to dive into exactly what Jenny was talking about, which is the ways that we can begin to help, one, see the stuckness, but then what are the tools? What are the things we can actually do that help shift that help us to feel less stuck? So we will be, She will be right back. All right, guys, here we go. This part of the show for me is also part of putting my money where my mouth is. I believe in a strong daily practice. And even if you can only get it here, then I want to give you something that helps you to find that space within yourself. And part of that is that whole idea of self-awareness. So I want you to take deep breaths. And as you're taking those deep breaths, you're going to be breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth. Consciously and continually breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth. And just move your body around a little bit. Settle into a comfortable position wherever you are as you're breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth. And as you settle into that, what I want you to start to become aware of is more of your internal experience. And so we're going to consciously travel inside. And what I want you to do first, as you're breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth, is I want you to focus all of your awareness into your heart, into the center of your chest, focusing into that heart space and just breathing and just becoming aware of your breath and how you breathe. Notice where your breath goes as you breathe. Do you breathe into the top of your lung? Do you breathe into the bottom? Does your breath expand you, or does your breath lift you? Does your breath go down to your belly? Just become aware of how you breathe. This is an important awareness, because breath, from my perspective, is the basis of everything. It is the basis of chi and prana and life force. All of those energies that animate this being, we are calling forth this energy into us as we breathe. And so we cycle this pure energy through us and release old energy this way. It's in relation to the world. It's in relation to the atmosphere. It's in relation to the plants and animals. It's a relationship, this breath process. So as you settle into your breath and you close your eyes, I want you to become aware of your field. And your field is the energy that is you, that emanates from you, from this physical vessel. There's this powerful, extraordinary energy emanating from you. Become aware of that field. However that shows up for you, you can feel it. Some see it. Some sense it. There's all kinds of different ways, and your way is unique to you. So find the way that you experience your field. And as you continue to breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth, feel that field. And I want you to become aware, as you're in your field, become aware of it. Meaning, you'll notice as you peruse your field that there are areas of denser energy. Some is a little dense, some of it's quite powerfully dense. Just become aware of those things, because you're attending to things in your energy all the time. Because between your conscious and subconscious, there are things being stimulated, and they're being stimulated in your field to bring to your awareness, to help your evolution, to help your movement forward, to help you resolve things that are happening in your world. So just become aware of them. And as you do, I don't want you to do anything with them. Just be aware of them. Because what I want you to do is, I want you now to focus all of your energy. I want you to pull your field into your heart space consciously. I want you to see that field filling the center of your being, just condensing and just kind of intensifying in that heart space. Feel that kind of warmth and tingling feeling. as you bring that energy in. And we're bringing this energy in so that we can explore the inside of this body, to begin to, again, come into some self-awareness, a deeper awareness of this magnificent vessel that supports your energy being anchored in this time and space reality, that enables you to engage in a world that you are creating through your perception, through your emotions and your thoughts and your feelings. Your perception is reflecting all of that back to you. So everything that you see in your world is reflecting your beliefs, your ideas, your perceptions. And I want you to allow that consciousness to start roaming around inside your body, inside your head. Let that consciousness roam around. Have you been inside your head? Have you experienced your brain? Reaching in, touching your own pituitary, becoming aware of that magnificent point within your consciousness and your physical being. Behind the eyeballs, in the sinuses, traveling around in the brain and just experiencing it as you go down the brainstem to the point where the brainstem and the spine connect. And then become aware of this magnificent cord of light energy, of powerful flow, surrounded in this amazing fluid, this conductive fluid that's protected by bone, that's a flow of energy from the universe to you in a continual pattern, moving up and down, moving up and down. Breathing into that and seeing and feeling all the nerves coming off of that are reaching into your torso, into every part of your body. And become aware from that internal experience of the many magnificent systems that are working in harmony inside of you. Again, the inside reflecting the outside. How is that harmony inside of you? The systems that are all working that keep you fully engaged in this physical reality. Your circulation, your bones, your nerves, the muscles, the tendons, the tissues, the nervous system, the endocrine system, all of these systems that are working in harmony without your conscious effort to them. And feeling your way through all of your own organs as you move down and out your arms and out your legs, feeling deeply. And then bringing all that awareness back into the heart space as we breathe together for a few moments. As you inhale to a count of four, you're going to hold at the top. You're going to release to a count of six. You're going to hold at the bottom. And here we go as we inhale. Two, three, four, feeling full, feeling amazing, relaxed in that fullness. And then consciously choosing to purge all of it to a count of six. Purging two. Three, four, five, six, and then resting at the bottom, resting in that empty space, creating this beautiful space of receptivity as you re-engage the lungs to inhale. Two, three, four, feeling full, enjoying and relaxing in the fullness, and then consciously choosing to surrender it as you purge. Two, three, four, five, six. Beautiful. Now rest in that fantastic emptiness. Rest in that beautiful space of empty. Being ready to receive new energy as you engage the lungs, you inhale. Two, three, four. All that amazing new vital energy coursing through your body, through all of the systems of your body, being utilized by every cell. As you choose to release all of the old energy and you exhale, two, three, four, five, six. And once again, resting in that empty void space, ready to receive, preparing to receive. As you continue this rhythm on your own, now inhaling, feeling that rush of energy, of prana, of life force as it fills and emanates through your whole body. And as it's emanating through your body, you are relaxing and receiving, and then consciously choosing to release it now. Because every moment you have the choice. Every moment you have the choice. Surrendering that air, letting it go. And as you continue through that breath cycle, take in these words, just experiencing them, feeling them. I am the evolution of God realized as matter. I inform and guide that expression as the pure expression of God. I show up as God. I connect as God. I align as God. I am creation realized. And from that, I create, expand, and engage. I am. Feel that powerful breath move through you. And just allow your field to expand back out. Notice its brilliance. Notice its enormity. That's all of you. That is self-aware. Being aware of the greatest part of yourself. Feeling that expansion as you bring your awareness back into the space, as we bring Jenny back onto the screen here, as we continue to move forward in our conversation. So let's take a moment, if we could, to define stuck. What is stuck in your perception, Jenny? What does that look like to you? How does it feel?
Well, I think I could probably answer that question in numerous ways. Feeling stuck in one's life could look like living out the same patterns in relationship over and over, living out the same patterns with family over and over, with our jobs over and over, with our internal dialogue, having looping thoughts, memories of events in our lives that were somewhat embarrassing, or where we have shamed ourselves, where our internal dialogue reinforces doubt or unworthiness. Mm-hmm. That's a major player to me in mm-hmm. stuckness.
So would you say, because one of the things that the way that I was looking at it for myself was this idea of my current belief system, my current idea of myself, and the desire that I have been creating, the desire that I have for my life. It's like the two are coming together, and the stuckness is the inability or the not knowing yet how to surrender what was in order for what is to unfold. Meaning I'm held because I know I need to change. I want to change. I've been calling for change. I've been asking for something to change in my world. But my belief about that thing is still stronger than my desire to feel the change. And so therein lies the rub. Therein lies the resistance. We haven't surrendered to that greater self yet. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I was just going to say, and you said the word, and some would refer to that as resistance. And I think it's important for us not to blame or shame ourselves as Absolutely. We embark on this journey to find where we might have limiting beliefs or blocks, because they come from various places. They come mm-hmm. from our pre-verbal experience when we might have been in the womb. Mm-hmm. They come from many places, and it helps us to have tools to begin to inquire, what is it that is preventing me from moving through this? What is it that I have yet to learn from this experience? What is the root of the resistance or the stuckness?
Yes.
But as you're well known for saying time and time again, we also have energetic, unseen, unknown blocks or stuckness. And if I might share a memory that was brought to my mind during your meditation.
Please.
you know, I've been so lucky to work with many masters across the planet. And what I would like to share comes from both Norm Shealy. I've been so lucky to work with him, you know, personally and be guided by him and have the benefit of his many, many meditative tools that he uses and shares with people, as well as a man named Michael Tamora, Michael J. Tamora, amazing man who teaches a clairvoyant program. Mm-hmm. And based on their encouragement, I embarked on an internal dialogue with my body, as you just suggested in your meditation, where I took my consciousness into my body, into my legs and my knees and my shins and my ankles. And I looked at the tendons and I looked at the muscles and the bones in my feet. And I took my consciousness into every toe in my left foot, and I looked from the inside out. And when I got to my right foot and I intended to go into my right big toe, I heard immediately, we can't go there. Oh, why can't we go there? And I was reminded that some time ago, maybe 15 years ago, I dropped one of those very large cans of tomato sauce, the big ones.
Yes.
From a high shelf in the pantry onto my, sorry for the graphic description, but I think this is a wonderful example. I dropped it on my toe. Of course, it was not fun. For months, I couldn't walk well. I couldn't balance myself. And what I was told was that I couldn't go into my big toe because it hurt. To be in balance. It hurt.
Wow.
So when I stepped on my foot using my toes to balance and guide my entire physical body, it hurt to be in balance left and right. So then the left side had to compensate. You know, we could unpack this probably for an hour.
Yeah, that's true.
But I was then able to say to my energy, it is now safe to be in balance. It does not hurt anymore. So I'm sharing this as a very literal, again, meat and potatoes example of how our body, our energy system, which some people refer to as spirit, and even, yes, our soul, including our mind and our subconscious, can have stuck beliefs.
Beautiful.
Memories. Does that make sense?
Absolute sense. And we are going to take a quick break because we have to take a quick commercial break, but also so that the audience can have some time with you. We're going to turn this over to Jenny for a few minutes. And when we come back after all of that, we're going to dive into, I made a note here because I want to go into the blame game a minute, because I think it's hugely important to this process. And we will be right back.
Science of Transformation Method, and I can't tell you the difference that it's made in my life.
This program is all about you coming into the greatest form of you. We are back, and www.thesciencetransformation.com. If you'd like to work with me, if you'd like to learn more about that, you can go to the website. There's lots of great information there, testimonial videos, videos about the program, and you can also sign up to do a free introductory evaluation with me, and we can talk about an introductory package program. So looking forward to talking to you about that. And now we're going to bring in Miss Jenny here. I'm going to turn over the floor to Miss Jenny as she tells you guys all about the amazing work that she's doing and how you might get involved with that. So have at it, Jenny.
Wonderful. Well, everyone's heard a little bit about my journey through your introduction, and it seems as if my abilities really are at the heart of helping people understand where they're stuck. And I can hear belief systems and events of our lifetimes that are trapped in our nervous system that exist as unprocessed or unresolved memories in the nerve system. Oftentimes that create random pain that can't be identified as from doctors, from medical science or chiropractors or physical therapists. And that certainly, I experienced that on my journey extensively. I also am able to perceive multidimensionally, speak with the soul, speak with guides, observe the energetic constructs, the chakras, the layers of the chakras, the subtle bodies, the meridians. And through really no desire of my own, these understandings came forth, and it made me quite curious, and it just propelled me on a journey to understand all of the symbols and the metaphor and the visions that I was seeing. And I've had quite a bit of experience in healing myself and working with others, both people and animals. So if a person feels stuck on their journey, I might be able to communicate with your guides, with your soul, with your body and your energy system, and help you perceive that one thing, that one place where there is resistance or there is a block or a limitation that you're just consciously unaware of. I work with both people and animals, and my website is heartofthehorse.us.
Fantastic. So is it not, it's not the heart, it's heart of the horse.
It's heartofthehorse.us.
Shame on me. Let me fix that here real quick. Sorry, guys. That was heart of the horse, not the heart of the horse. Okay, there it is. Heartofthehorse.us. I have not directly experienced, but I have seen all some of the testimonials and stuff. And Jenny has done some amazing, amazing work. And so check her out, www.heartofthehorse.us. All right. So before we went into all that, we got into, you had a wonderful thing that you were sharing there, and I got kind of hung up on the blame thing, because it is, in my mind, the biggest obstacle to self-awareness. And that is because of the entrainment into fear, whether we believe it or don't believe it, whether we're aligned consciously with it or not, there is a propensity in most of us to assume that we are not enough. And that assumption is based on a faulty premise, which is fear, which is saying, being told you're not enough from inception, because that is the nature of the consciousness of this planet at this point, which is what we are hoping to shift. But so I go here because in wanting to get past stuckness, blame is a big reason where we stay stuck, because we think that we failed somehow. And none of that has anything to do with all the things that Jenny was talking about. It's an exploration. And if you can find the space of exploration, it becomes extraordinary, because you allow yourself to connect dots in ways that you may not be normally aware of, or in ways that you may not have allowed yourself before, because there is the blame going on about how you got where you are. If you consider that 90% of our conscious awareness is not conscious, excuse me, that was kind of a silly thing to say, but like a huge portion of our awareness, we are not conscious of. So if you give yourself that understanding and allow for that, then the things that show up, as Jenny was talking about, genealogically, DNA, in history, you get to understand them from a point of non-judgment, as opposed to, look, see, I am really not good. See, because you're taking things completely out of context. So I really want to bring that to the fore here and say, number one in this process of getting unstuck is surrender the blame game. Surrender any of idea that anything you've done to date is wrong or bad or not okay. It's just simply what you did. It's simply the choices you made from where you were with what you had in any moment, whether it's a past life moment, a present life moment, a genealogical moment, it doesn't matter. You do what you can from where you are with what you have. What we hope from here is that you can take this information, surrender any kind of blame to allow you to start making those connections with self all in your own sphere, as it were. So,
Well, I don't think any of us wake up in the morning deciding that we're going to make a mistake today, or that we're going to meet the world with shame, or we're going to go to work or attempt to finish writing our book or our website or work with our clients, believing, you know, consciously that we're not enough. As you've said many times, it exists in the energy within us. And as a tool, or as defined as an impediment to self-awareness, where does it exist? It exists in our heart, and it exists in our lower shoulders. And for those modalities that encourage us to go out of body or focus on the crown chakra or those chakras above the crown chakra, they're sort of missing the point of where the unseen energetic processes exist that cause that feeling or driving program, that the foundation on which we live our life, unworthiness or shame, that is preventing us from fully accessing all of the layers of our heart chakra. Yes. And that's where true self-awareness begins.
Love that. I'm reminded you were sharing an example. I battled with cigarettes for years and years and years and years. And I smoked from very young. I smoked well into my adult life. I quit for a 12-year segment when I was married to my wife, and then picked it up again after the dissolution of that marriage, and continued to smoke for a while. And I share that the sort of how long it's gone on piece, because what happened for me in the change of that, in releasing that stuckness, because that's one place I think in addiction sometimes we go, I'm just stuck. I don't know how to do this. And I started to have a different relationship with it, in that I stopped thinking of it as a failure. I stopped thinking of it as a blame game. Jim, you got to stop this. Look at what you're doing to yourself. This is not healthy. This is not helping you. This is all of that is judgment. All of that is negative assessment against self. And what I did, and this came about really organically, but what happened was I said, wait a second, maybe I need to stop resisting the smoking. Maybe I just need to change my focus. And so what I would do is at any time I would have a craving, I would not fight the craving. I would say, thank you, but you know what? We're not doing that anymore. We used to do that, but we're not doing that anymore. And every time I would acknowledge the feeling and say, yeah, we're not doing that anymore. We're doing this now. It would immediately change the energy, because it wasn't like I was going, stop it, stop it, stop it. I was saying, I get it. I get it. We build a habit. We build a habit in the system. The system is screaming for this thing that it's had for a long time, but we have a new habit now. So let me introduce you to the new habit. And that new habit is over here. It's not over there. And it was that easy, in the sense that did I go through craving stuff? Sure, I did. Did I go through difficulty with it? Not so much, because as soon as it happened, I was making a conscious choice to not resist, but also making a conscious choice to something else. And that then breaks down this sort of fight energy, because I'm not trying to battle it. I'm just saying, yeah, we did do that. We did, but we're not doing it anymore. This is what we're doing now. And it was a huge change. And I keep trying to tell people and share that with people, because it made the process so much different. And my relationship to nicotine now is vastly different than any time I'd ever quit in the past, because I'm not holding it at bay. I'm not fighting with it. I'm not resisting it. It's there. It's doing its thing. I still get cravings periodically. And it's bizarre to me. I'll be sitting in the middle of something going, gosh, I really want a cigarette. And I'm like, what? I share that because, again, it's a change in the paradigm. You don't have to fight. You don't have to blame. You don't have to go there. It's a change in how you have a relationship with this thing.
Absolutely. And you're meeting it with self-love.
Yes.
You're introducing a frequency which was previously not introduced. Love, self-love.
Yes.
Loving intention to change your paradigm.
So let's talk about that a little bit more. I like where you're going with that. You've introduced something new into your experience, and what is that doing in our energy field? What is that doing? How is that helping?
Well, depending on what the underlying issue is, it's going to that love frequency can quite simply transmute other frequencies. The consciousness of addiction that we might have created, a belief that we can't stop something or do something, introducing those higher frequencies of love and worthiness and the intention to heal or create a pattern interrupt, as they say in neuro-linguistic programming, mm-hmm. is very key. And that is very key to, as many people talk about, making choices. For people who are very, very traumatized or have complex PTSD or have really suffered a lot in their life, one single choice may not, shift everything, but it certainly will shift a direction. Yes. And when we reinforce it day after day after day, for me, my pattern interrupt was finding a book by Marianne Williamson called Illuminata, which is a beautiful collection of just prayers. Intending healing for perpetrator and victim, for parent and child, for the earth, for animals, for the Jews and the Germans. Yeah, it's just yep. a beautiful. And I read those prayers every night for at least 6 months until one night I put the book down and I thought I didn't need that anymore. And yeah. that's what helped me to get off of to begin my journey to be able to totally eradicate opioids from my experience.
That's fantastic.
And it was that loving intention, that demonstration to the universe, to my own soul, my own guides, that I am dedicated and I am on a path to finding that true innate, the worthiness, the divine love that mm-hmm. does exist in us, but it's covered up by the shame or the blame or the doubt or the unworthiness.
And I think this is a really good, the thing that strikes me is understanding, at least from my perspective, that one of the things that's so important about getting this idea unstuck or to find a different place that's not stuck is that you have to have a different perspective. You have to shift in some way your perception of the thing that you're dealing with, and sometimes that shift in perception is a shift away from it, is taking your attention off of it to give yourself some room within the context of whatever it is you're trying to deal with. Because these beliefs, the thing is that whether it's a belief system, whether it's a historical experience, and it's all tied to belief systems, ultimately you created them, you can uncreate them. And so there's nothing to be afraid of in any of it. And there's nothing to blame in any of it. Again, it's you did what you could from where you were with what you had in any juncture of your life. And the greatest disservice we can do that can create the greatest blockages is to look from where we are now and judge where we were then. Because you were not that person then. So bringing it to the present, when you can just be in your experience and say, okay, this is showing up. What is this showing up to? Like you said earlier, what can I learn? What can I see? What can I know? I had a recent experience with a good friend. We had a situation that hurt me, that I felt very hurt by, and am processing. And as I'm processing, I also recognize this pattern has reoccurred in my life many times where I'm at this feeling place and I'm not sure why I'm here and I'm not sure why it showed up. And in my meditation yesterday, I had this profound experience that you were just talking about. What if I just put love in the situation? What if I just filled the gap, the space between us with love, and see what unfolds? And the thought of it and the engagement of it was very uplifting. But it also didn't stop the monkey mind. It didn't stop the small s self, that ego self, from wanting to have a viewpoint and wanting to continue to say, yeah, but what about, but you got, but you should, shouldn't, but what about, and continuing to do that and trying to push the agenda that my emotional story tells. And I say, okay, just like the cigarettes, I say, thank you, but we're going to take a different perspective. We're going to focus. And right now I'm going to focus love into this situation. And I may be saying it in words for the first time or the first 10 times, but as long as I continue to focus there, I'm moving my attention to that rather than to the negative cycle and then seeing what's going to unfold. And it's a little bit, it's disconcerting. It's a little, it creates feeling because we're so used to believing that the story we've told ourselves is the way it should play out. And so when we're picking a new paradigm and we're saying, no, I'm going to put love in here, I don't know how that's going to work out. All I can say is that I want it to work out well, and I want it to be work out in love. So I'm going to just infuse this with love until I have some more clarity, till I have some more something. But every time it comes up, I say, I hear you, but we're focusing this in love. I'm putting love into the situation and seeing what happens. Excuse me.
I love that. Might we introduce a tool for those who are trying to get these type of answers through meditation, but yes, seem to, for some reason, be blocked or not be able to?
Absolutely.
And that is a type of meditation that is basically getting your brain into an alpha or a theta brainwave state. And there are many ways to go about that and many tools available if one were to just Google it on the internet. One that a person I have a tremendous amount of respect for, and I'm not trying to push him in any way, I'm just sharing that this is one tool available. Dr. Jeffrey Thompson, a neuroscientist who did a lot of research in this arena and eventually worked for very large corporations, helping large corporations for their sales force, their marketing, their creativity, you know, departments, and helping large corporations win awards to help people achieve tremendous creativity, clarity, and success. And so meditating in an alpha or theta state can help us go into our subconscious mind and actually perceive, as you did in your meditation, that thought or that block or that belief that is our stuckness, that is maybe preventing it, that is the resistance. And, you know, there's the saying, what we resist persists, mm-hmm. right? But again, we're not always conscious of that resistance. And so doing these alpha and theta brainwave meditations can help us to see or hear sometimes maybe the word hopelessness or fear might come up, mm-hmm. or frustration. And when those words or descriptions or feelings come up for us, holding that loving intention in the beginning, in doing the meditation itself, that I deserve to heal. I give myself permission to heal. I choose to heal, and I choose to let these issues go that I am identifying in this. Very much like one would approach a labyrinth, a contemplative labyrinth, where we go in with a problem to solve or a difficulty or a challenge. And when we come out of the labyrinth, after shifting left and right, left and right, left and right, we have an idea or an inspiration. And mm-hmm. this type of meditation is very similar, and I think can be very helpful if you have the headphones on, you know, and some people just aren't able to meditate with clarity or peace in the way others are. So I'm hoping that is a tool that people might be able to use.
Yep. And I've done many shows on meditation to try to demystify the process, because it's really not it's not a complicated process. It's simply a process of continuing to focus into quietness. And it is, breath is a powerful, powerful tool. Anywhere that you can find, I have a breath process that I can train in that's very easy to use. I use it multiple times a day when I need to spin my energy up. If I'm in a place that I'm, you know, that I'm not feeling connected, and I can do that. I do that as I talk all the time. I do it before the show. I do it before meetings. I do it before activities, because I want to bring as much of me to the game as I can. And what I find is that breath is the place that takes me to those levels that you were talking about, to spin my energy up in a way that allows me access to the greater part of myself, and then to just be in awareness of that and allow that to begin to inform and sort of trickle down, as it were. Maybe trickle down isn't the right word, but everything you described is exactly the way I experience it as well. Giving myself permission to shift state. And remember, guys, this is a self-discovery process. So I found in my own process of meditation, I had to stop listening to all of everybody else's version of meditation and find my own sense of alignment in that process. So I had to sit with myself and realize that as I was sitting in meditation, I was letting my mind go 90 miles an hour. And it's like, well, this is sort of antithetical to what my process is. So I have to figure out, how do I shift this in myself? Part of that was the breath. And then part of that is where I put my attention within the context of my own, in my own quiet space. And so I could change. If I noticed that I was internally looking down, I would tend to be focused into my mind. But if I tend to focus my energy up, my closed eyes, focusing them up as I breathe, focuses me in a different way. And I don't tend to spend as much time in the mind. I tend to rise above it because I'm not attending to it. So there's, you know, that's one of the ways that I do. And we are at about a minute left. Whoops. Pushing buttons. We're at about a minute, minute and a half left. And I would love to use that time, Ginny, if there's anything you would like to say as a way of bringing this all home, as it were, for this particular day.
Well, I just would briefly like to comment on what you just said, and that is that eye position, even in meditation, has tremendous meaning. And we are taught about the learning centers of the brain and the eyes looking down. You're tapping into the emotion, you're tapping into the problem. And when you're looking up, you're tapping into the potential solution. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of religious iconography and spiritual practices, people endeavor to look up and inward toward the pineal gland in their meditation. So there is tremendous value in what you just said. There's science and thousands of years of spiritual practices behind what you just said, Jim.
That's fantastic. Thank you for that.
You're a genius. Did you not know that? But, you know, I think you and I both have stumbled on sort of blindly, you know, on our journey onto many wonderful, wonderful things. Absolutely. And I really am hoping that some of the things that we've shared today can help people understand how they might be unconsciously stuck, and some tools that might help them address that stuckness through love, through breathing, through, yes, raising the frequency. I can say for myself, on the beginning of my journey, when someone tried to control my breath, I just about had a panic attack. Yeah. So please continue to try, and try maybe more gentle. We don't want to start with the Wim Hof method, right? We want to start with more gentle methods, depending on how much trauma and challenges we've experienced in our life. But I also agree with something else you said, and that is that we tend to have struggle perceiving ourselves in a new way and viewing ourselves as we were in the past. And this happens with others as well. And other people's opinions of us affect us on the outside of our energy field. So even drawing attention to clearing and cleansing outside influences from the outside of our auric field can be very, very valuable. I see people all day long, and it looks like they have burnt molasses on the outside of their field, and I can barely see their little heart glowing from inside. which means that the things that possibly they're beginning to feel about themselves are really a reflection of the outside opinion and projection of others.
Beautiful. And potentially another opportunity for us to have another conversation, because that's some powerful stuff there and very, very important. So unfortunately, we are out of time. Jenny, this has been a blast. I'm so grateful to you for coming on the show and looking forward to having you here again. Everybody out there, in any way that we can help, if you have questions, don't hesitate to leave a comment. We'll be happy to respond to you. But let's help you get unstuck and help you find ways to alleviate stuckness. And I hope that you're able to find that today. Have an amazing afternoon. We will see you again next time. Enjoy and thank you for being a part of Adventures in Truth. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth Livecast. Please like, subscribe, and share. If you'd like to learn more about Jim's book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love, check it out at www.fearisachoicebook.com. Also check out Moments of Truth, a new offering from Adventures in Truth. If you'd like to work with Jim, check out www.thesciencetransformation.com to book a session. Tune in live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time and every Friday, 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, or look for our new releases and podcasts every Monday. Until next time, be well, and we'll see you again on Adventures in Truth Livecast.